The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now that I'm wary of them.
Yes, you are wary of journalists. You're wary of me. You're wary of the interview. You don't like being interviewed. You can see it in the way that you sit and the way you are. That's you don't
True.
Like, don't you? So therefore, well, I mean, it's a perfectly easy question, a decent question to ask you about being a journalist. I mean, in other words, if you were me, what would you do now?
Well, just wrap it up.
Now, that's a clip from an infamous interview between the late Sir Michael Parkinson and Meg Ryan. It didn't go well, really, for either of them. That's our theme today on Inside Hollywood, when interviews with actors go horribly, embarrassingly wrong. I'm joined by entertainment journalist and broadcaster Lisa Cannon. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning.
You've been that soldier.
I've been that soldier. You've been that soldier. I think people are going to listen a little bit more carefully this morning because people love to know who were awful in interviews. You know, how do you handle and be professional and calm in a situation like that? And there's been many I've had. So, you know, the press junket scenario seems very glamorous because obviously, you know, you've a litany of names, I've a litany of names, but we get to hang out at 4-star hotels or whether it's a television show.
Yeah, we didn't do that much because we preferred the live person walking on, and then you never know what you're going to get.
But it's this kind of, you know, you might get some Hollywood swag, you might get nice food and you get to FaceTime with the movie stars. But these unique and frankly very bizarre press junkets, they're kind of high dollar cattle calls, are intended to, you know, squeeze the maximum.
Now, to give them their credit, often nowadays, instead of walking on to the Graham Norton show or the Late Late Show, they go into a hotel in London in front of a poster and a bowl of flowers. And they sit there for 8 hours doing interviews with Spanish TV, French TV, Italian TV, Irish TV, and everyone gets their 10 minutes and they don't even get to video it themselves.
No.
Because if it goes badly wrong, you're never going to see your tape, are you?
No, absolutely. And they can sit in a chair for 8 to 10 hours and they're sometimes eating their dinner on the side. I've done it for 25 years and the amount of junket interviews I've done, people think, you know, is it exciting? Is it glamorous? But it's about squeezing the maximum amount of press coverage out of the shortest time possible. And like I was saying there, you know, sometimes the actors aren't in good form. They're jet lagged. They're tired. You know, some people have said that they've interviewed actors in their dressing robes. Now, I've never seen that, or the dressing gowns. I've never seen anything like that. But I have encountered very rude celebrities while doing them. We'll get that to that in a second. But people are interested to know, you know, why are they confrontational? Are they awkward? Are they, you know, why are the heated exchanges? Well, sure, they're human beings. And I suppose if an interview presses a certain question, maybe they don't like it. They don't want to answer it.
You've given me loads of examples. Russell Crowe on BBC Radio 4, a telephone interview, and the interviewer criticised his accent in Robin Hood. What happened?
Look, first of all, you don't do that. I've interviewed Russell Crowe and he's prickly enough face to face. You know, he clashed with a BBC Radio 4 interview and he just responded curtly and rightly so. I think there's some ways to navigate a certain celebrity, but it ended in frustration and his reputation for abruptness is linked to his no-nonsense attitude. Mm. Oh, I certainly encountered that.
Joan Rivers once walked out on CNN because they accused her of being, in her comedy, mean-spirited.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is, you have to just mind what you're doing with a celebrity and know your audience. Read the room, too, with a celebrity and do your research. I mean, she's a seasoned entertainer and I think it just showcased that she'd reached breaking point.
Now she made herself famous, Joan Rivers did, on the red carpet. But we have a red carpet incident here involving Hugh Grant. Do you want to set the scene?
Yeah. So, you know, you have to tell me now whether you think the interviewer was professional enough to handle Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant is particularly fun. He has a British dry wit about him. But here's a 40-second clip. Let us know your thoughts.
What are you most excited to see tonight?
To see?
Yeah. Well, I know that you probably watched a few of the movies. Are you excited to see anybody win? Do you have your hopes up for anyone?
No one in particular.
Okay, well, what are you wearing tonight then?
Just my suit.
Your suit? Who made your suit? You didn't make it.
I can't remember, my tailor.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to the tailor.
Yeah.
So tell me, what does it feel like to be in Glass Onion? It was such an amazing film. I really loved it. I love a thriller. How fun is it to shoot something like that?
Well, I'm barely in it. I'm in it for about 3 seconds.
Yeah, but still, you showed up and you had fun, right?
Almost.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. It was nice to talk to you.
Yeah. Now, she ambushed him on the red carpet. Take us too short, please.
Absolutely. I mean, she's awful. She's not even a broadcaster, not an interviewer. She's a model, which is fine, but she can't do her job. And they plopped her in there just to, you know, I don't know, suppose tick a box, really. But ultimately, Hugh was having none of it, and rightly so.
Now, you have another clip of another celeb, Cara Delevingne.
Yeah. So Cara had been on a press junket, the Whirlwind press junket, and she's attracted a lot of public attention for her kind of curtness. Here she is. She's on American television, Sacramento television, and they've seen her do a junket before where she was nasty. So they kind of called her out in it, and here's her reaction.
I saw you in London talking a couple weeks ago on TV, and you seemed a lot more excited about it than you do right now. Are you just exhausted?
No. I mean, I'm still very excited. You know, the premiere was last night. It was an emotional night. It felt like the end of an era, but I'm not any less excited than I was a couple of weeks ago. Maybe I had a bit more energy. It's the morning.
You do seem a bit irritated. Perhaps it's just us.
Yeah, I think it's just you.
We'll let you go then. How about that? We'll let you go take a little nap, maybe get a Red Bull. How about that?
Cara Delevingne, thank you so much.
They went to bars.
Wow. She was in a mood. I don't know. I think she was just a little irritated. I mean, these guys, they sit through all these interviews from 800 TV stations. But still.
You make $5 million for 6 weeks worth of work. You can pretend to talk to Good Day Sacramento with some oomph.
Absolutely. I agree with the host for sure. Do you not think that was a very uncomfortable interaction?
Yeah, very uncomfortable. But the real question is whether or not the interviewer, be it any one of us, feels themselves in some way to be not the equal of the interviewee, but the superior.
Oh, well, okay, that's another point.
You find that all the time. It's all about the interviewer rather than the interviewee. Why are you there? You're there to get the views of the interviewee.
Mm.
And if you get a viral moment where someone has a go at you, fair enough.
You've had a few as well.
I've had a few, yeah. I have Freddie Starr trying to get me to put on a pair of underpants over my suit. You know, your attitude in those moments is, I'm mortified here. However, this is box office. No one's turning off.
True. I had a very not so pleasant moment with Kevin Spacey, where before the camera started rolling, he looked me up and down, wouldn't shake my hand. I was left kind of hanging there, incredibly rude and very unprofessional. So it was difficult. That was a difficult one. Few others. But we'll get to another one. I have a bad one as well on the way.
Okay, we'll talk about that bad one in a moment. But do you have rules of thumb as to how you handle these situations?
I think as a reporter or a presenter or whatever, you have to kind of adapt and redirect. I think if questions trigger a kind of defensive response, you have to swiftly move on, steer it in a different direction and pick up cues from the interviewee. I mean, if they're shifting in their chair and they're uncomfortable, I've been there. You know, some of the questions I've had a bit of a finger in the wound questions I've had to ask, because one, for example, was Reese Witherspoon. She just ended her marriage, and the public had known about an hour before the press had broken it. So lots of journalists were asking her, and I had to approach it because otherwise I wouldn't be doing my job properly. And she was very squirmish. She answered, but very squirmish.
And then you get the barefaced lie. I was talking to Julia Roberts on the show, and there was rumours going around that her marriage was at an end. She denied it. She said, oh no, we're absolutely
fine.
Fantastic. Three weeks later, she was gone. So there you go.
Anyway,
you have a good clip from Tom Cruise. The situation here, he was being interviewed by an Aussie.
Yes, this is a heated interview with Matt Lauer in 2005, where they discussed his views on psychiatry and prescription medication. But it became heated when he kind of dismissed and became argumentative, because Lauer pressed him on his love affair of Nicole Kidman. So he was hitting the root problem there. And there you go. Here's two opinions colliding in a very high profile professional setting.
But Nicole was a major part of your life and a love of your life at the time.
I loved Nick very much. There's no question.
Would you like Nicole to remarry?
Yes. I want Nicole to be happy. That's what I want.
And do you have a relationship where you talk, it's a parenting relationship, and talk professionally about each other's
life? Listen, here's the thing, Peter.
Yeah.
You're stepping over a line now. You know you are.
Well, I suppose they're questions, Peter, though, that people want to know.
Peter, you want to know. Take responsibility for what you want to know. Don't say what other people. This is a conversation that I'm having with you right now.
You're right.
Okay. So I'm just telling you right now, okay, just put your manners back in.
Do you think I was out of line?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I apologize for that. Good. Sincerely.
Good.
You don't want to be that person in the interview. You don't. You just don't.
Did he overstep the mark?
Oh, God. I think maybe his tone of questioning was a little bit off, yeah. But Tom Cruise is incredibly tricky, too, to interview. Though I had a great experience with him and I really enjoyed the interview. But sometimes you know with actors or directors that you're crossing a line. I mean, or you're entering territory, probably. That's the right word to phrase, way to phrase it. That you're entering a territory they don't want to go. Confrontationally, Quentin Tarantino snapped at reporters when they asked him about violence in his movies. You know, he responded by saying, "I'm shutting your butt down." I definitely wouldn't like to get that response from Tarantino.
We had him booked for the Late Late Show. He was in Dublin and he was confirmed, and there was no problem. Quentin Tarantino was going to come on the show. But he was in, I think, in Trinity College doing some sort of a thing with students, or maybe he was in the IFI. And our people were trying to get him to get in the car and get out to the Late Late Show. And he said publicly, "F the Late Late Show," without the bleep.
What?
Yeah, and didn't show. He was a no show, which is very unprofessional of him.
Right.
But Bill Malone, our producer at the time, he had T-shirts made for us all saying, "Quentin Tarantino, quote, F the Late Late Show."
Oh my God.
Which we wore with pride.
That's
after
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic. Well, I have Rhys Ivins is my worst interview because I interviewed him in the Clarence. This interview never saw the light of day on Exposé because he arrived drunk as a skunk at the interview, holding a glass of red wine, spilt it all over me. Very suggestive conversation to me, you know, and I stopped the interview. The cameraman was disgusted and we couldn't go on. He was completely blind drunk, but he showed up on the Late Late Show later that evening. With Ryan.
With many Red Bulls under his belt.
I don't know. I mean, he was going all day. This interview was at 11 in the morning. So, we had to get an apology from the film company.
Anyway, your bottom line, good shape. They're human too.
They are human too. Yes, exactly. Just remember that when you're promoting your movies, stay professional. We have a few more, I think, if we've time.
Yeah, I don't think we have any more time for the clips. But anyway, Lisa, thank you very much. You soldier on intrepidly against the worst that Hollywood can throw at you. Lisa Cannon, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.